Welcome to the Lock on Everything with your host, Brian Locklear. This week, we have the notorious Joel Nest. As most of you know, he was the first sponsor that actually came on the show. He's helped us out. He's listened to all the shows. Every episode you've listened to since he actually started sponsoring us, you've heard his podcast ad. So, Joel, welcome. And first of all, just thanks for everything, man. I don't know if I told you, but there was a low point that I was at with the podcast because I wasn't getting no feedback and I wasn't getting no help. And then I don't know what went through your brain. You can tell me if you want to, but you sent me that first message from Podcorn and you was like, yeah, I'll sponsor you. What's the deal? And then, we kept talking from there, got on Facebook and stuff. But I really do thank you because that was a fire that kept me at a low point to continue to do this. And then I found out that not only do you sponsor me, but you listen. So, and then that was like a whole, that just took it like, 1,000 yards further, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate being on your show. Thank you very much. This is an honor. It really is because, it's funny because like when we first met, I tell people that the podcasting industry is really weird. It creates friendships that you wouldn't really see outside of other industries. There's military and law enforcement, obviously, but it's something that you can really grasp and you can really share with somebody, a hobby where you can't other hobbies, but it's a hobby that you're sharing with the rest of the world, if that makes sense. And it's funny how that works. And it's great that we got to connect.
Well, yeah, I mean, because, like I told you before, my biggest thing that I knew about Canadians were either one, they ran to Arizona during the winter time, and two, on South Park, their heads wobble back and forth or sideways when they talk. And that was about the gist of my Canadian shipness.
One of those two is true.
The South Park one.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously.
Okay. I didn't want no one to be confused. Y'all's heads go, left to right when you talk.
Yeah.
So we would normally I do the ads in the halfway point, but we're gonna go ahead and play your ad and then I would like to talk to you about it.
Absolutely. At Ruck Up Podcast, we take a little bit of a different approach. We take industry professionals from law enforcement, military, security, and outdoors enthusiasts all around the world, and we hear their story. So let's hear it.
Attack or infiltration or suspected infiltration, and we have to be ready to...
We're all allegedly massacred by the Crown Prince, and I was there not to do with that. I arrived the day after.
Check us out at our website at ruckupmedia.com.
All right, Joel. So about the ad, that is probably the coolest ad I've ever heard on a podcast. Okay, you want to talk about like the idea, like how you got the idea and such?
Absolutely. So I'll start. I guess I'll kind of rewind to if I can, just kind of talk about my show for a second so they can build it up to the ad. But when I first started this, I started this as a security. Basically the whole vision for the podcast was around security. And my goal was at the very beginning was to basically take myself and put it into, get thoughts out of my head, like very similar to you. But I found that it was just really hard. So, I don't know if you want me to tell you the whole story, but I'll get to the ad obviously. But, I decided to kind of talk to friends and get their opinion of what they think about security, military, law enforcement, and it grew into that. And then after I started talking to a bunch of people, I started realizing that, well, we're all pretty much the same, cut from the same cloth, if that makes sense to listeners out there. But it was inspirational because we got to actually sit down and have a formal conversation about not just our industry, but how we are as people, how we are as parents, how we are as friends, how we are as everything else. And I think that that's very important. And what I wanted to do for the ad was I wanted to create a real like punch in the face type of ad, because I kind of just needed all the information out there as fast as possible. And the shitty thing is about the ad itself is I had so much material that I wanted to put into it, and I just couldn't fit it all in that time frame. And it really, and my next ad that will be coming out fairly soon, it'll have a lot more, but it'll be more of a, it's still of a, I guess, a throw punch type of ad, but that's where it kind of derived from.
I gotcha. So, and you know, I really appreciate that you've gotten people from around the world in different security forces or different military groups that come on. And although we, you know, you got different accents and you got like different places people call home, like when you break down what everybody's saying, like everybody's military has the same screwed up leadership. They has the same problems with this, the same problems with that. It's just we're in different parts of the world.
Absolutely. And that's a lot of the same, a lot of the same criticism I hear about the military or law enforcement is funding is, and it's funny because you'll hear from civilians the other way. Oh, where's all this money going to? Well, it's not really going to the troops. It's not really going to the officers, and it's not really going to X, Y, and Z. Right. And it's very interesting to hear all these people and hear their stories from United States to Canada, to Australia, to Israel, to Africa, to the Middle East, and so on and so forth. Like these people are going through a lot, and it's just unfortunate that they're not getting the support they need to do their job. And unfortunately their job is life or death. And it's just unfortunate at the end of the day.
Well, one of the stupidest things that I have ever thought that the United States military does is television ads. Like, that is absolutely the stupidest thing to me.
Yeah.
That you, like, it is like the biggest waste of money. And then you got like a race car that's running around the track, and it's sponsored by the U.S. Army.
Oh yeah.
But then
Navy car. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I would, like, when I was in the Army, I'd be like, hey, this soldier needs to go to this training, or hey, I need to go to this training, or hey, this needs to get done. And I'm always told, oh, we don't have the money. No, but we have our own race car.
Yeah,
you know,
which we pour millions of dollars a year into. Yeah,
right. We got our own, you know, ads during the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
you know, we got all the billboards and everything else, and you know, they go back to, oh, well, that's a different pot of money. We have different money for advertising. Yeah. Why do you need to advertise like the world's largest military? Like, I don't understand that. Like,
yeah, you guys kind of already have that covered, but I think for the most part, and this is just my opinion, but I think there's been a huge decline in the amount of recruits, and that's just not you guys. That's right across the board. I know here in Canada, when I talk about the police force, we have the RCMP. I'm not sure if everybody knows what those are, but the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. So that's like our federal police force. And it's diminishing fast. And then you got all your jurisdictional police forces, which are still struggling to get manpower. And that's happening in New York. That's happening in Chicago. That's happening in the UK. Like, this isn't a local problem. This is Now, I don't know if you want to nitpick and say it's a generational problem, but it is a problem.
I mean, if we're going to be real, let's be real, Joe. I mean, you can't. You know, that's one thing me and you both do is you just got to call it like it is. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at, which, you know, a lot more about America than I do about Canada. I did serve with some Canadians. So that whole thing about South Park was a complete joke, but, you know, being an American used to be a thing of pride. It used to be a great thing. Like, people knew that. Not to be funny, but you know what I'm saying? We're the greatest country there is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now it's all about, like, oh, my country needs to give me something. It needs to do something for me. And it's like, no, that's not what built our country.
Right.
I mean, you can go talk about all the bad crap that happened. Like, everybody knows that's there. But I'm not talking about that building our country. I mean, the building of our country to where – we started slowly to get things right. Because if you think about it, Joel, America and even Canada, for say, are like teenagers compared to Europe.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I would even say we're behind teenagers, but I get where you're going with that for sure.
You know, like the problems that England had when it was 300 years old was, you know, like they had kingdoms, you know, and dragons and dinosaurs, and I'm being facetious now, but you get what I'm saying. Like, that was actually thousands and thousands of years ago. Like, it seems like, and here we are 300 years in, and we're having problems that Europe had forever ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's like down in us, but we're kids. Like, who goes to a kid and be like, oh, you screwed up now, so I'm gonna hold it to you the rest of your life? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, it every society that has ever been has done something bad. I mean, there's not one civilization or one group of people that haven't done something bad to another group of people, or that they just shouldn't have done, period.
We don't have any Neanderthals left. What happened to them? We weren't exactly kind to them either. I mean, it's always been down and down and down. Like, everybody blames the newer population on the planet, but that's not the way it is, right? Like, we've been fucking it up for a long time now, and
thousands of years.
Oh fuck! You can go back 100,000 years if you want. Like, seriously, yeah. Since the start of civilization, we've been nothing but fucking bitter towards each other. And not just bitter, we've been pissed off and go to war because I want what he has over there.
And you know what's funny about that? I know it's going to get in a whole nother subject, but that's 100%, that's 100% biblical. Like, yeah. It really is. Like, whether you're a Christian or not or whatever, if you just read the Bible or the Jewish Torah, that's literally what happens. 100%. You know? Cain and Abel.
We've been doing that before those religions became, right? So it's every religion has their ups and downs, but I mean, we've been doing it to each other for so long that we don't even remember. So,
well, I mean, if you really look at it, the problem that we have in America is our intentions were the intent was thought of faster than the implication was actually able to be applied.
Right.
So if you look at a country where all the country or everybody's white, there's going to be some group there that's going to be looked down upon by the other ones. You just can't be able to call it a race thing. It's just,
it would be a
society. It exactly. But there's always, like you said, hatred or a need for power or something like that. And
we're humans. It's funny because people used to bitch at me because I was a contractor. They used to tell me that, oh, you work for the devil. Yeah, I fucking do. You know why I do? Because everybody is fucking greedy. And everybody is out to get each other. Oh, no, no. We're going to live in a land of free peace and love and no war. Are you fucking kidding me? Do you even know what humans have done to each other in the past, let alone what we're going to do to each other in the future? We are not a species of peace. Do you not understand that? Like, this is hard-coded in our DNA. Like, this is not something that we just turn on and off. And people just, that's what bugs me about conversation with people that don't understand it.
Well, see, that's what I try to teach my kids, and I'm sure you do too, but I know I have all girls. Yeah. And I try to tell them, like, look, okay, you may want to do this, you may want to do that, but at the end of the day, if you don't know how to take care of yourself, you're going to have a problem.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'm building up to our main conversation here, which I'm hoping you're seeing where I'm going with this.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I have my middle child. You know, I take her outside to go shooting, and, you know, she's like, Dad, I don't have interest in guns. I don't like guns. I was like, that's perfect. That is perfectly okay.
Yeah.
However, you need to know how to shoot one.
Right.
You need to know how to do this. You don't want to learn to clean a deer? Okay. All right. Don't get your hands dirty. But you need to know what to do.
Absolutely.
You know, and to our main point of the conversation, Joel, is, you know, I had one of my Patreons ask me to do a show about the coronavirus and, like, it taking over the world. But I don't want to get conspiratorized, so I want to meet them in the middle.
Yeah.
And you're the perfect person that I could come up with to have this conversation with. And it just so happened that me and you already had this episode planned. Not the topic, but actually me and you getting together to do it. And then after we agreed on a day and a time, I got that message and that phone call saying, hey, this is what I think you should do. So if we don't look at it as a zombie apocalypse, if we don't look at it as like aliens coming back or, you know, something that's going to, people are going to get far fetched. Right.
Yeah.
But if we focus it as a natural disaster,
yeah,
you know, you're in Canada, so my little bit of knowledge, all right, I'm guessing the whole place is covered in blankets of snow because that's just what I know about Canada.
Fair enough.
So, you know, if
not a fact, but okay, carry on.
Well, yeah, no, I'm definitely not saying that I know, you know, I'm just, you know.
No, it's all good. Carry on.
But like, you know, like where you're at, okay? If you have like a main road out of your town going to another town, your main transportation routes, yeah, right? And there's a big ass snowstorm that cuts your transportation routes.
Yeah.
You know, and nothing can come in or out of the cities.
Yeah.
For, you know, honestly.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I was saying, like, you know, it's funny because history repeats itself, right? Like, so if you're looking at something that's going to, how you're going to survive a situation like that, and if you have no communication with anybody, that's where obviously everything's going to break down. So the first order of business is to find somebody who's, or find a group of people that you're close to in your town or in your area that you're going to use as your, I guess, your protective unit now. Like, the way I look at it is, if something did happen here, the resources that we have collected, which I'm not a prepper. Okay. I admit that I'm not one of those people, but I do have enough to get us by. But my rational thinking is now it's time to start not preparing ourselves, but going out and getting shit done. Like, and I think that when I look at the bigger picture of people around me, okay, so to backtrack a bit, I'm on the PAC board of my kid's school. So I get to see a lot of what the parents do with their kids. And it's, to me, it's like, fuck, like, you guys, like, you got to get it together. Like, these are simple things that, that you should be teaching your kids about just life skills. And I noticed that as we go along, that if there was a major incident, people like myself, people like you, are going to be the people that thrive through it. And it's almost like, you know, when you're playing the first level of a video game, it's almost like, yeah, that's what it feels like, because you're so far past these other people that are trying to now survive. So they're in primal mode. They're not even in thinking mode. They're just in the human drive to survive. And unfortunately, if you don't have training or if you don't have an excessive knowledge, you're not going to survive very long, because the people who have done it or have gone through those situations before or trained for them, they're going to walk all over you. And like,
so
go ahead.
So before we get too far in, because I want you to continue, do you think, at least in your community, that the people in your community communicate like they did 20 years ago, to where if the same incident happened, say, tomorrow, and the incident with the amount of communication would have happened 20 years ago, do you think there would have been a big difference between the two?
Yes. I think that 20 years ago, I'll even stretch a little farther back and I'll say 30 or 40 years ago, I think that they would have a better chance of survival because of the fact that they have less communication the way we have it today. Right? Like, we rely a lot on technology, whereas before it was, you know, meet at town hall and discuss the issues, or, you know, go up the street to Jim's house and discuss what we're going to do about planting next year or whatever, right? Like,
right.
And as they go ahead, they're like, well, I can't get across this body of water because I want to go to that town over there. So let's build a bridge. Now your communication obviously gets more expanded, but at the same time, now you're reaching out too far. And
you're compromising.
And I think that's the problem that we have. And I live in a small town, I wouldn't say a small town. Like, we have 80,000 people. It's a big town compared to the towns around me. I should say, like, Vancouver and we got places like, they're called Surrey and Delta and Burnaby. Like, these are big metropolises. But for myself, we're just stuck up on top of a hill.
Right.
And when I think about disasters, like one, like you're saying about a disaster, about a natural disaster, we have a lot of dams around here. And if one of the dams goes, holy shit, the bridges are gone and we're stuck here for a while. There's no doubt. But I just think that I don't think there would be enough people right now. If I had a group of 100 people, I'd seriously be going, nope, 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 nope.
Right.
Like, I need somebody who's going to help me here, or the rest of you can just go fuck off. Like, that's kind of would be my mentality.
And really, at that point, Joe, it's a matter of Darwinism.
Absolutely. Like,
I mean, absolutely. 100.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was talking to my brother earlier, and you may not agree, and that's fine if you don't, but I was telling my brother earlier, I was like, you know, in the last 20 years, we have undone all the survival knowledge that people have literally died to learn over the last, say, 2,000, 3,000 years.
Yeah, I agree.
We've just lost it. I mean, you got people that can't grow a garden, Joel.
I know. I'm aware of that. I agree 100% with what you're saying.
Yep. I mean, you have people that are more worried about, you know, being real. You know, you have more people worried about the feelings of a dog than feeding their kids.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
I mean, I like dogs, but if my kids are starving, hate to break it to you, guess what? My kids ain't gonna be starving for long.
No, I agree. And
I mean,
it's funny because, like, not a lot of people, nobody really judges me around here, and that's probably for the best, but we do live in a community where there is a lot of people that do go hunting, and there is a lot of people that, like, there are people that would be able to survive that type of situation. I'm not discounting that at all, but I'm saying that the high majority of the population would kind of be left out in the wind starving. That's the way I look at it.
Well, I mean, you know, like you said, with basic functions, people don't know how to do.
Yeah.
You know, like, say, start a fire.
Yeah.
You know, you tell someone, hey, it's cold, let's go start a fire. Just really for shits and giggles. You know what I mean? Like, just to sit there, not because you have to.
Right.
But, you know, and then like, oh, okay, well, I need a lighter. I need some lighter fluid. I need some this. I need some that. You know, we got any lighter knot? I don't know if that's what y'all call it there. Or
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. You know, anyway, okay, well, that's cool. But, you know, what would happen, just say, if you didn't have that? Yeah. And then you're a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
And so I think, well, maybe you can. Can you define where being a conspiracy theorist stops and where just being smart begins?
I think it's a difference of bias opinion. So, like, I can say this with cold-heartedly, because, like, when I was – or wholeheartedly, when I was younger, I was a huge conspiracy theorist. Like, you were talking about Alex Jones earlier. Like, I fucking love that guy. And then he went off the rockers, and ever since then, I've been like, this guy's out to lunch. But I used to listen to there was a radio show. It's still on. I can't remember what his name is though. Anyway, so I used to get dragged into all those topics. I think more so because I was interested in the storylines. Like, the storylines I find very fascinating. And, you know, if it ever happens, great. But, you know, in reality, you start to get a little older, and you start to get a little wiser, and you start to think. And then the part of thinking comes into research. So you got to hear both sides of the story. And if you don't hear both sides of the story, then you're a conspiracy theorist, because all you're doing is just believing in one side. To be intelligent is to actually do your homework, right? And that's the way I look at it.
So if I understand you right, it's not actually the action, it's the thought behind the action that actually separates the two.
Yeah, I would say.
So, I mean, if you go out there and you say, hey, I need 25 years worth of food, and, you know, and then you go to that person, let me rephrase this. If someone comes to you like, hey, Joel, I'm about to go get 25 years worth of food, and you're like, well, why do you need that?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you know, we're in Canada, and, you know, we get some pretty harsh winters, so just in case things happen and we get cut off from the main, you know, communication, because it's not, you know, we go 3 or 4 days every year without power, you know, my kids can feed.
Yeah.
Compared to someone saying, hey, Joel, I'm going to go get 25 years worth of food. And you're like, why? And they're like, because the aliens.
Yeah.
You know, is that really what you're saying? Like the difference?
I believe that if I was asked those two questions from those two point of views, I think both of them to me would be a little ridiculous, because I wouldn't understand, first of all, how you could prep for 25 years. Like, I think there would be logic involved where I'd be like, okay, well, what's the 25 year mark? Why are you doing it 25 years? Why aren't you doing, where are you going to store this? How are you going to preserve all this food for that long?
Okay, let me correct myself because you're
because I'm gonna backtrack for a second. So my question to the person, to the two people, would be, I think to start preparing yourself for a shorter distance, and then secondly, if I was to pick which side of the border I was on between the conspiracy theories of the aliens or the conspiracy theory of the natural disaster. My opinion would be, I don't really give a shit what you guys are doing, but you're on the right track.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, your head is in the right spot. Yeah. Sorry. I should say your heart's in the right spot. Your head just isn't. Whether you think that you're going to fucking die tomorrow because of an avalanche, or if you think you're going to die because you're going to get fucking abducted by aliens. It's the same.
At least you're thinking
about something, because it's the same outcome. Either way, you're dead. So it doesn't really matter. But at least you're providing food for families or whatever you can do to get past the time.
So what I meant to say is food that lasts for 25 years. That's what I meant to say. Yeah, you know, you got the dry packs. Yeah. But you know, you do have people that like have entire like the silos. You know, you see the rich people buying the silos, and they're like making like apartments and stuff
underground and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, I really think that if you take modern comforts into a post-apocalypse area, you're going to end up screwing yourself up. Yeah, like that's just
necessities are all that's needed. And like that's why they think that people that are minimalists will survive longer than people that are what's the opposite of minimalist? I can't even think right now. But you know where I'm going with this, right? Materialistic. Yeah. People that need stuff. And the thing is, the less you need the right stuff is what you need for sure. And if you had a fucking bungalow with a shitty ass couch and a bed and you wanted a 72 inch TV, fine. I don't give a shit. But the thing is, if that 72 inch TV takes up room for food, we have a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And see, that's one thing. So this is what me and my brother saw about earlier. We're talking about one, you know, if something were to happen, okay, the whole going home, sitting in a chair, relaxing, drinking a cold beer, that's over with. Like, you're trying to survive 24 hours a day. That's just what. Yeah, there is no more playing Xbox till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and sleeping every night. If the sun's up, you're doing something to survive through the night.
Yeah.
You know, but we were talking about it. It was like, okay, if something were to happen, what would happen first? And I told him, I was like, well, the first people that I think that wouldn't survive is the people that are obviously medically dependent.
Yeah.
100%. And the medically dependent, those that have to have medication, or, you know, their body's going to shut down on them. Basically,
yeah.
You got the ones that are like morbidly obese. You got the ones that are not able to get around. Like, those are going to be the first people to go. Darwinism is a very, very nasty theory. You know, I mean, it doesn't play favorites.
No.
The
thing is, when it's a situation like that, you do, and I know I was joking about it earlier, but you do kick back to your primal instincts, right? Mm-hmm. It's now everybody against themselves. Like, it's, I'm not going to lie. If something happened where I had to feed my family, I'm going into my gun case and I'm getting fucking prepared. And I'm going to every store I can within the next fucking 20 minutes. And I'm
right.
Everything. And anybody who steps in my way is going down. That's all there is to it. It's not even a question or it's a logical statement, because everybody would do it. You would just have to be smarter than the next person. That's all.
And see, what gets me is anytime you go around somewhere nowadays, Joel, everybody's politically correct. And in a real world situation, politically correct is not going to work. If you're starving and you're worried about if your food is organic, yeah, or if you have cage-free chicken, or I mean, now you can do it, you know, but if you dependent on it, if you're talking about, oh, well, I can't take Bambi's life because I watched Disney when I was like 3 years old, yeah, you know, that's a lot different. You know, then be like, okay, you're starving. Like, oh, there's a deer right there. Well, you know what? I really don't really want to mess with Bambi there. I'm gonna let him all scurry on by.
Well, and yeah, exactly. But I think that also too is, I think you would start seeing, like, not right away, but I think after a period of time, you would start seeing people who were having problems adapting, starting to adapt faster, because again, they're going back to their animal instincts. They're starting to remember how to do certain things, whether it be things that they watched on TV or they heard of. But I think that it would take just time to process that. That's the way I feel about that.
So do you think, so you know, people watch way too much television now.
Yeah.
So besides, like let's use The Walking Dead as an example.
Yeah.
So if you take away the zombies and like all that stuff, that's a little far-fetched, okay?
Yeah.
But you actually look at the alliances that they make, you know, in the beginning, if you remember, which I haven't watched it in many years, but the son, he was all like innocent and sweet and kind and politically correct. And then by like season four, he was like, hey, if it's moving, it's getting killed.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, do you?
I don't think that's far off. I think that the alliances would happen no matter what, just because that's the way we are as people. Like I said before,
we
are the type that will consume civilization, right? So if we were, if there was 30 people out in the forest, you're going to automatically gear towards. It's no different than a pack of wolves, right? You're going to have the person that comes in and is the alpha. Then you're going to have the beta, and you're going to have everybody else that falls underneath. It's just a natural pecking order of nature. It's not us trying to overstep our grounds or be better than anybody else. It's the way things work to get things done. If you have 30 leaders, you're going to fucking fail no matter what. So the only way to do that is to create your cliques and then move from there and create a civilization, right? But I think that over time we would just become more and more aggressive. Right now we are the least aggressive. I don't even know. I guess we've never been so pleasant and nice to each other in our entire history. And people don't even understand that. Like that's what blows my mind.
And so do you think that it's gone too far?
Do I think it's gone too far?
The pleasantness? Yeah. I mean, I know Canadians are supposed to be like the friendliest people ever, but
nah, we're not. We
you know.
Do I think it's, no, I think it's good for civilization to do that, but there's going to be a hard reset one day.
And that, okay, yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, no, there's going to be a time like you can only tip the scale so long, right? It's no different than the financial situations or whatever else you want to do. It has to click back. And the thing is, like, a prime example is everybody right now, well, not everybody, but a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, this new generation, they're lazy, they're young, they don't give a shit, they come in late, they do whatever they want, they play their video games all the time. Well, the thing is if that is true, then there's going to be a point where you're going to have a flip, where you're going to have another generation that comes in that's going to be taught to be harder and stronger and faster, and they're going to dominate over the previous generation. It's only natural. And if you go back to being like wolves and the elements and nature does it to itself all the time. And people just don't realize that we will kick back. It's just
when. Have you ever, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but have you ever saw the saying where it's talking about, war makes strong men make peace, or peace makes weak men make war.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like that whole perfect circle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's very factual. It is true.
And I mean, it's like, you know, we live in a society to where, like, we'll use America as an example, because America, as far as I know, is the only country that has a Second Amendment like we do. You know, if America loses the Second Amendment, then we're literally the last standing ground for.
It's funny. I just want to hit that topic pretty quick, because it's funny, because when I talk about firearms and I talk to other people with about firearms, and then all of a sudden an American kicks in and they're like, oh, well, he should have had a gun on him. My answer is, you do know you're the only country that is allowed to be armed. I'm like, I've been in fucking war zones and I couldn't have a fucking gun. Like,
yeah,
like, you guys got to understand that this is not a thing outside of your country. And it's just, I think there's just that mentality. And yeah, no, it's fantastic that you guys have that. There's no doubt. And it is something you need to keep on to for sure. But I think that sometimes America has to remember that it's not the same as it is inside or outside America as it is inside.
Right. So do you, dang, I forgot what I was going to say, but I am glad you said that, because that is extremely important. But I really do think if we lose that, then I guess, because this is my conspiracy theory, New World Order is like full blown. Like what happened in Europe with the EU.
Yeah.
Before the UK like bailed out, before the whole place went under.
Yeah.
You know, that was only because of stuff like this. But you know, we've never been invaded completely because of the Second Amendment, because the Second Amendment didn't come out till after the whole thing with England and stuff. But
well, we have kicked your ass twice. So,
oh my Lord, here we go.
It's hard, because like you are one of the last countries that does have it, or if only one that has it. But it's such a, the thing is with Americans, you guys really like to consume and keep everything, because you know, because you've seen through your history that if you let one thing go, the rest just kind of snowballs, like you're saying, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist for New World Order thing. I've worked for some of those types of people, so I kind of see the other side as well. But I don't see it going to that extent. That's just my opinion.
Well, I mean, they did it in Europe with the EU. I mean, is that not like the whole idea of you know, a couple people controlling multiple countries to where their country leaders really don't have as much say as they think they do?
Yeah. Okay, if you want to talk about that as being the extreme, that's fine. Yeah, I'll
yeah, that's what I mean. Like the whole idea, like, of the EU being like not a group of countries coming together and like having like a treaty or a pact of like, hey, we're gonna hang out, sit around, and you know, drink a few beers, and if anybody messes with us, then we're all gonna like jump on them.
Right.
Right. But when we get together, like, and be like, oh, we're all going to have the same money. We're all going to have open borders. But you have three or four people that's going to control like this entire continent of different countries.
Right. Okay. So if you're looking at that angle, yes, no, okay, I understand what you're talking about. But when I hear New World Order, or I hear, you know, Illuminati and all those guys, like, what I hear is people saying, okay, there's a bunch of rich people and they own the country. We don't have a government anymore. We go. That's what I think of New World Order. And I don't think that's really a fucking thing, to be honest with you. And that could be a conspiracy for another time, but I used to believe in that shit for sure.
Yeah.
But when you become, when you work the security industry and you work for some of these entities, you start realizing that the reason they are the way they are is no different than working for a business or working for a different organization or even the government in some cases. Like, they just have shit to do and it has to get done. Right. And that's the kind of the mentality that I think a lot of us do have, that if we were put in those situations, we'd probably do the same. Now, I'm not saying about, okay, we're like, let's not get into all the child stuff and all that weird shit. I don't want to talk about that stuff. Yeah. But I just want to focus on like the actual idea of it and what I think it means. So,
well, the reason why I brought it up is because, you know, when we're talking about people, basically, the idea of if something catastrophic were to happen, okay, and you had all these people that actually come up and said, hey, all these, you know, people that have firearms need to go away, this needs to go away, then we become so dependent on a government that the only protection we have is the government.
Yeah, that's not good.
So therefore, we don't have any protection at all, because if we look at World War II, you know, with Japan.
Yeah.
Okay, Japan hit the furthest point away from us they possibly could to actually start anything.
Yeah.
And then later on, they asked why, and they said, we have the world's largest army that's not in the military.
Yeah.
You know, nobody knows how many firearms are in America.
Yeah.
They just don't know.
That's true. Yeah.
But if we go through and we stop that, you know, or everybody goes, does a mass turn in, well then, okay, what happens if, let's see, North Korea does try to invade the United States?
Yeah.
Well, if that were to happen, we wouldn't defend ourselves.
Right.
So we would have to rely on the government, which in a situation like that, wouldn't it be a really fend for yourself type thing like we're talking about?
Well, think about this for a second. Like, okay, you say the government, right? So who is the government?
Like, well, we got in theory, you would have to use our military, our police. You would have to use.
Hold on a second. So you're talking about people. You're not talking about an entity here, right? So the way I look at it is, if something ever happened in the government, and I've talked to people about this on both sides before. I've talked to people that are ex special forces and what their opinion is, and they're pretty much on point with what I'm saying. Well, not all of them, because I don't want to throw them all in the same book. But if something catastrophic was going to happen, or there was another war or something kicked off, the government that we think of that's at the top of the echelon, they don't have as much control as we think they do, or people say they do, because what's going to happen is that's going to trickle down to the people that actually run the operations, the people that actually carry the guns that are part of the military and law enforcement. I know a lot of law enforcement officers are going to say, fuck my job. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take whatever resources I have and protect my family. And that's
right.
The case with 90% of the people in the military and law. Now, there are people in the military that are like, my flag is my flag and that's it. And nobody's going to fucking tell me other than my superiors what to do. I get that.
Right.
I totally do. But there is a huge, huge percentage that is going to fucking say, fuck this. I'm going to protect my family. I'm out.
Right. And that's why this whole idea is, I believe, came about. because say something like that were to happen tomorrow, obviously it would be built up, but just say something like that tomorrow.
Yeah.
How many people do you think have the knowledge to how to like salt meat so it's preserved in the open air for it to be eaten?
A small or fraction of percent,
or have, you know, I don't know, green bean seeds in their house so they can go throw them in the ground and they can have food in a few months.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
just these different small things that we've learned as human beings for thousands of years. We've been able to protect ourselves and do things on our own, and now we're reliant on, I guess if you really want to say it, we're reliant on technology and money.
We are. Absolutely.
And
I agree.
I think honestly, if Facebook shut down for like 2 weeks, a large portion of both our country's citizens would go berserk.
I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. I think that now the thing is we're at a breaking point where we have to rely on technology, but if it ever kicked back, I think we still have enough knowledge of what we did in the past to help us through it. I just think it'd be a very, like you said, a mental shock to people about how they're now to live their lives. That's it.
Would you think the same thing 2 generations from now?
Going forward, no. I think going forward, 2 generations from now, if the reset doesn't happen, then I think we'll be so far advanced with technology that not having technology would just not be a thing. I think that there will be redundancies beyond redundancies if anything ever happened.
That's what scares me, Joel.
Yeah.
You know, because like you said, there are people like you, there's people like me that we've just learned these different things, even if we didn't want to learn them, we just learned them because it's part of the job.
Yeah.
But if you go another generation or another 2 generations, like my granddaddy taught me how to farm.
Yeah.
You know, he taught me how to grow stuff. And regardless of what Mike Bloomberg says, it's more than digging a hole, putting a seed in, and covering up, letting something grow.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, there are things that you have to do. You know, my granddaddy taught me to fish. He taught me to hunt. He taught me to do, like, all these things that I do that people just don't think about. You know, and I really believe as we go, if you think about it, look how processed our food is now.
Yeah, not
a good amount. If you think about it, like how many, you know, like the number of people to me that have like heat strokes and heat related injuries isn't because it's getting hotter. It's because air conditioners are getting colder.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting more, the temperature inside where everybody has to be is more regulated. So when they go outside, you know, when they walk in from the car to Walmart, they pass out. Because they sit, everything's air conditioned. Whereas when I grew up, in order to have it cool down, we took these box fans and turned them around and stuck them in the window.
Yeah.
So it would blow it, you know, it would pull the hot air out.
Yeah.
And blow it outside.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like how to fish, you know, like all these things, man. I just it really bothers me, Joel.
Yeah, I think people can. Like for myself, I'm a huge hunter. I love hunting. So there's 6 people in our family. You know, there's 4 kids and me and my wife, and we literally take the whole kid, all the kids, put them in the truck, go up the mountain. And there are times when we just go up the mountain, just do nothing, just relax, go for a drive. There's other times when we go up the mountain and I'll teach them something. There's
right.
Other times we'll go up there and we'll hunt. But I'm not going to go up there every day and bust their ass that they have to learn something before we go down the mountain like that.
Well, yeah.
Teaching, I'm not a fan of. But I think that if we just took a time, even even if you take somebody from the city and just tell them to go for a fucking hike in the trails, like just do something that's not what you're familiar with and make yourself feel uncomfortable. Because if you don't feel uncomfortable, then you're not going to learn. You're just going to stay stagnant till the day you die. And like you said, if there was ever an event and you don't know how to hike in the trails, well, that's a pretty simple task. But if you've never done it, that's a pretty hard task.
Right. And you know, like where I'm at, like the last 2 years that it's been hurricane season.
Yeah.
Like everywhere around me flooded completely.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. So what ends up happening, Joel, here, I don't know if it happens there, but here, if it's like, all right, we got a hurricane coming. Well, instantly every store in the nearest town is out of water, out of bread, out of this, out of that. You know what I mean? And that's fine and all, but isn't that really I guess it's smart because you're trying to prepare for a good amount of time, like you said earlier, maybe not 25 years, but at least a good amount. Yeah. But to me, it's kind of like that's your old shit moment. Like you, like something happens and you're like, I have no way to deal with this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that makes any sense, but no, you know,
yeah.
I'm a real. Go ahead.
And I'm real. You know what? If that happened, yeah, it would probably suck for me too. I'm not going to lie, because we do live in a small town. There's not a lot of options here. If everybody went down and we were in a hurricane season as well, well, we don't have that here because we're all mountain ranges. But if that was a thing here, then yeah, it would be a struggle to get food. And I'm not doubting that, but at least I know that if I don't have anything in the freezer, I'm going up the mountain with my rifle and I'm coming back. Like whether it's a squirrel or whether it's a deer, like there's something coming back in my backpack, right?
Right. Protein's protein, right?
Protein's protein. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of people that would, like you said, once you get into that starving moment, the people that I would think were rational and that were able to get some food, but unfortunately they didn't get enough. And now they're at that breaking point where them and their family are starving. Now they're just animals. Like now the whole rational process is just completely evaporated from their brain.
Right. And it goes back to that primal instinct 100%. Of something besides me is going to be eaten.
100%. 100%.
And I really think that. So let me ask you this, Joel, and I know it's putting on you on the spot and I don't mean to, so you can tell me to pound sand if you want to, but so I got a lot of people that listen that, our parents and they have multiple children or they're adults and they plan to have children. And you know, growing up, they, you know, people always say, hey, make sure you have a fire route and you teach your kids, make sure they know what the smoke alarm sounds like, you know, make, you know, all these stuff to prepare for like fires and small stuff like that. But do you have or can you come up with on the spot a couple things that should be kept at a house in case really any kind of extreme incident were to occur, whether it be martial law, whether it be a hurricane or a natural disaster, whether, you know, anything that would help?
Well, as much as I think firearms is a big one. I'm going to be real about that. Like us in Canada, we do register our firearms. Well, certain ones, they're called restricted firearms. They're like your AR-15 platforms and pistols. Those are restricted here. You can have them. You just need to register them. So I do. I have them in my safe. They're here. I do have a rifle for hunting and we have other firearms too. So I think that firearms and the ability to use knives, ability to use some sort of other type of weapon, or even not even just a weapon, but a tool. I think that that is crucial to survival. Secondly, actually, I would say first and foremost is skill set. If that can be actually used as an option, like teaching people how to use things, just because you have them in your house doesn't mean fuck all. I can have a whole arsenal over here, but if I don't know how to shoot a gun, then it's pretty much useless, right?
Makes sense.
Secondly, would be water. Water is obviously crucial to us. We always have water in this house. Always there in our garage, where all our hunting gear is. There's probably three or four flat. I'd say even more than four flats of water over there, and that doesn't get touched. Nobody touches that fucking water, and it gets changed over before it expires, obviously. But which is funny that water fucking expires. But anyway,
but you still have it.
We still have it. Yeah, 100%. And then all of our outdoor gear, which I am huge on. So we have like honestly, if I took all my gear and I went up the mountain, I could literally live up there. And we could set up tarps and tents and stoves and fires and just everything. Like we would be 100% self-sufficient.
And that's what I was trying to get to, is the difference to where you have the stuff, but you have it because y'all enjoy it and y'all do it. But at the end of the day.
Yeah. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, where is the fucking problem going to be? It's going to be in metropolis areas, right? You don't want to be sitting in a metropolis area and try to defend your family. Okay. You want to go to the outskirts. You want to regroup, and then you want to come in just like any army would. Right.
Right.
And I think that if you get out of the city and you start living and surviving outside of there, you have way better chances. There is way more food outside of the city than there will be inside the city. It'll dry up quick. You even said it. You nailed it on the head. As soon as hurricane season comes, stores are empty. Where are you going to get food? So learn how to fish.
Yeah. Everybody starts looting. Everybody starts stealing and killing and everything
now,
else.
What do you want to do? Do you want to be one of those people that now, like I said, the first hour or two, I'm already going and I'm already getting gear. Guaranteed. I'll go to store. But after that, we're out in the middle of the bush. And the reason for that is because everybody else is going to go looting. Okay, let them kill each other off. Let them fucking die off, because they're not our problem anymore. We are our problem. So we fix it by going out and not being part of the problem, which is the cities.
Right.
And I think that that's where a lot of these movies and video games get it wrong, is everybody goes and stays inside the city. Nobody in their right mind would stay inside the city. That's a stupid idea.
Right.
That's where everybody's going to die anyway. So why would you stay there?
And see that's one reason why, like you, I guess you was about to ask me, but you know, my whole thing would be, and I'm pretty sure yours would be too, if I went to go get supplies, then I would have the family at the house, like getting ready for when I get back. It's time. Yeah,
100%. Exactly that logic. 100%.
I mean, because if not, you know, like, well, in a city, you know, most cities have city water.
Yeah.
So if the power goes out, the water plant's going to shut down.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to get water. So, and then like you said, water is super important to us. So what happens as soon as you cut off the water, pandemic is going to set in, because you can't live off of sodas and sugary drinks.
No, you can't. You're right. Yeah.
You know, when you're outside having to survive, the last thing you want is a bunch of sugar in your system.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, I wouldn't even like the chip aisle and the soda aisle, the convenience stores. I wouldn't even be going down. I'd be finding all the fresh meats and whatever I can take. Well, actually, not fresh meats. I'd be taking mostly canned shit, to be honest with you. But
spam, good old spam. Oh yeah, you can't go wrong with spam and Vianney sausages.
Yeah.
But I mean that. This is an important conversation to have, Joel, because I really think we're getting so far away from being able to survive that we're reliant, like you said, the people in the city. The people in the city are 100% reliant on their technology, their way of life, and like we said earlier, their government.
Yeah.
They're reliant on being able to get assistance as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Whereas you move out here in the country where I'm at, and it's kind of like, honestly, if I wanted to walk outside and shoot a deer, you know, no one's even going to notice.
Yeah.
Or paying attention to a rifle going off.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just going to be another thing. Whereas if you go to a bigger city and a rifle goes off, somebody's more likely to be killed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Whereas here it's just, oh, somebody must be just shooting just to shoot, you know, just shooting stuff, shooting a tree or whatever. Yeah. But no, I mean, I really think this is an important conversation to have. And it, especially with people that, I mean, I teach my kids how to clear a house. But I'm also 100% ridiculous, you know, but I'm not saying everyone should do that, but I really think you were making a strong point when you say at the very least you could go outside and just show the younger generation something.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if it's really bad where you're at, but we're down here where I'm at, you have kids that, you know, 2 or 3 years old, they're getting iPads.
Yeah.
And that's what they're learning. Yes. To sit there.
See, now, hold on a second. Now, if you're going to talk about now the iPad and technology thing, I'm all gung-ho for. Now, I'll be honest and I'll say why. Because these kids that are – now, first of all, if I gave my – I do give my kids iPads and I do let them – well, not iPads, but tablets. But I do let them watch
I got you. Stuff.
But – I couldn't force my kids to watch it all day. I couldn't. That's not their mentality. Okay. They sit down, they play for a little bit, then they go and they play with their toys, or they go outside and they go do something. Like I that's just how they are. So I'm lucky enough that my kids aren't fixated on it or aren't obsessed with it. Okay. I want to get that clear. But right. Secondly is I've taught my kids from a very young age how to use tablets and phones and everything else, because unfortunately, whether people want to like it or not, that is the direction that our society or our world is going into, and that's technology. Now, my kids at the age of 4 can literally fucking work a cell phone like tomorrow. And I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem when parents use it as a babysitter.
That's when I have problem.
And when kids become obsessed with these, that's when I have problems. So when my kids, when they're like, oh, I want the tablet, I'm like, excuse me, can I have the tablet, please? I'm like, no, you just had it. No, you're not having it right now. Like, we will put limits on it. But the thing is to not let them understand the technology that they're going to be absorbed with. When, like, we think that technology went fast when we were young or when we were coming up. Could you only imagine what's going to happen in 10 years or 20 years or 50 years when we're gone? Like, you're going to take that opportunity away from this generation and say you can't have the tablet, or you're only allowed to do this and that and the other thing, or you're not allowed. Like, that to me is just a little, I find that a little hard to take, because I don't want to take, like I said, I'll teach my kids how to hunt if they need to know how to hunt. If they need to know how to use a tablet, then they need to know how to use a tablet. And that's kind of the way I look at it.
And that's what I was saying. If you give it to them at a young age, because that's a babysitter.
Yeah.
You know, not because you're sitting at like the DMV trying to get your driver's license for 8 hours and your kids are going absolutely nuts.
Yeah, because they're bored.
But, you know, if the kids wake up and they just sit there on their tablet and then they go to sleep on their tablet, or the only time they're not on it is when it's recharging.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then they want to be on it while it's charging.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't get outside, and, you know, you just, like you said, you go hiking. And I'm pretty sure when you go hiking, you point out different plants.
Yeah.
And like, hey, okay, this is moss. Yeah. You know, this is how it grows. This is what direction we're facing. This is how you can tell. You know what I mean? Like, you just – and even if the kids don't pay attention to it, I really agree with what you said earlier where you said that the actual natural instincts will come back. And I think 100%. Things like that, the kids would – that they would immediately, like, forget, per se, would come back. You know, when they're stranded and they're like, okay, where do I need to go? It's going to come up. you know, be like, oh, you know what? My dad told me, like, I don't know how I remember that, but he just randomly told me one day that this is what it means.
Yeah.
Compared to, you know, compared to just sitting on there and playing, you know, Candy Crush or, you know, whatever all day long.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's the whole reason I wanted to ask about the just being prepared. Like we're taught in the military, we're taught I'm pretty sure with the police and everything else, is you always hope for the best, but you have to plan for the worst.
Absolutely.
And at some way, I mean, honestly, I don't want to see something crazy happen. I don't want America to get in another civil war. I don't want, you know, someone to invade our homeland and just act crazy. But in the same sense, like you said, people are not the nicest.
No,
you know, people
have never been nice.
Right. People do some dumb things.
Yeah.
You know, and I will say that, you know, there's a couple firearms in my house that, you know, if someone comes through my door and everyone knows everyone's in bed, then they're going to eat something that they really don't want to eat.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, but at the same sense, I tell my children, like, look, which, you know, I'm a religious person. So, of course, that aspect goes into all my teachings of my children.
Yep. Yep.
But, you know, I do tell them, like, look, a life is a life.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, you know, I teach them the value of actual life. So I don't have to worry about them going and grabbing one of the firearms and going to do something stupid.
Right.
Because I've placed that value on life itself.
Yeah.
You know, when we go out and you know, we go hunting or something like that, and you know, I let my kids know, like, look, y'all gotta understand, this thing gave its life so you can have life.
Absolutely. I'm not a religious person, but
that
is one thing I hold very true, is if you kill it, you eat it and you respect it. Because I couldn't agree more.
I mean, my kids are allowed to kill anything they want to kill, but they're going to have to eat it. You know, if they want to go squirrel hunting, then they can go squirrel hunting.
Yeah. I got a story about that.
Go ahead.
When I was younger, I learned how to hunt from my uncle and my grandfather. And I remember one day, I don't remember how old I was, but I remember I took the pellet gun. And I went outside, and where we were staying or living was a very rural area. Like, I think it was a population of like 300 people. Like, it was small. And then a little bit south was a larger town of maybe 1200. And then you get bigger and bigger and bigger as it went on. But, I remember going out and I remember shooting this crow, and I ran in and I was so excited because it was like the first thing I ever shot. And I told my my uncle, and he's like, okay, go get it. And I'm like, go get it. I'm like, I didn't say fuck, go get it. I said, why am I going to get it? And he's like, because you're going to eat it. And I'm like, I'm going to eat a crow? And he's like, yeah, you shot it, you eat it. And I'm like, oh, really? And I remember I was like almost ready to break down and cry. Like, I was like, I have to eat this thing now. So anyway, went out and got it. And he made me go through the whole process. And then he's like, I'm not going to make you eat it, but you have to understand that this thing died for you, because you just wanted to shoot something. So this is your lesson learned. And since that day, I haven't shot anything that I didn't eat. So
yeah. And I think that's one of the, I mean, that puts a value on it. And it's one of those things that I keep saying, we've learned over thousands of years to give value to life.
Yeah.
And to respect life. And when you respect life, then everything goes in. But this whole trying to make people feel good about themselves, because they just want to be whatever. It's not going to survive tough times.
No,
we're only in time like this. Like, if we look at the Hellenistic culture of the Roman Empire or the Greek Empire, where everybody was accepted and everything was accepted and everybody was right and nobody was wrong unless you spoke out against Caesar, unless you spoke out against Rome, or, you know, whoever the power at the time was, then you were okay. Well, then what happened?
The enemy killed within.
Right. Then what happened? Somebody came and took over and the empire fell apart because everybody was so accepted that, just like me and you were saying, when something crazy were to happen, nobody knew what to do.
Yeah.
Because they were so focused on, which, as an example, when I was going to school, Joel, we still taught, we still had horticulture.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they taught you in school how to grow stuff.
Yeah.
And we don't do that. We're so far past that I really don't see us surviving.
Well, see, the funny thing is we have schools out here that actually are outdoor schools for our younger ones. So they spend most of their mornings outside playing. They go on nature walks. They go do all that stuff. They learn how to grow stuff. They learn how to play in outside and stuff like that. And then they spend a very little amount inside. So our kids do that on occasion. We're not hippy dippy, but there are schools out here that do that. And at first I was like, what is that? Like, I don't think so. I'm like, that's a little weird. But then once you start seeing it, they're not as, like I said, not as hippy dippy as I'm making it out to be. But it's interesting to see that the younger schools, like the preschools, that's what it is, are doing that for the younger children. And same with some of our, I should say elementary schools are kind of doing the same philosophy, just not as long. So they'll go out and they'll do nature walks. They'll go and explain to the kids what this is and that is. And their field trips will consist of going to like fish hatcheries and stuff like that. So
so y'all have aquaculture classes too?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not a long, it's like a trip here and there, but at least, at least it's enough to bring them out and show them. You know what I mean? Where instead of maybe taking them to the movies or some shit.
So when I was in middle school, I don't know if it's still there, but the local high school at the time, I had an old aquaculture class. And what they learned is they learned how to raise fish, obviously, through like the whole year. And then at the end of the year, they had a fish fry.
Don't name them.
So I mean, it was awesome. But I mean, hey, you gotta fund the operation somehow.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and that's just what had to happen. So, the last thing I was gonna say is there is something that I don't think will be permanent. A permanent solution, but a longer term solution is, you know, a lot of the people that I see that have, I guess they're doomsday preppers is what you call them.
Yeah.
And they have these like big, like large silos or underground areas and things like that. Is they all have some sort of way to use electricity.
Yeah.
That they built, whether it's solar power or, you know, whatever it is. But I actually know of a person that has created perpetual power, which is pretty freaking awesome.
I do too. I actually know a few people.
But you can't. It's just one of those things that nobody will allow you to get off the ground.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that, you know, as soon as you tell someone, then you got to make sure you're not going to get accidentally Clinton.
Yeah. It's funny because it's an expensive toy. Definitely. Not a lot of people do it. But it's amazing how it works. I know that one group of people, I should say, in particular, they own a ski lodge. And there's this huge, huge waterfall that comes from the glaciers. And they've run tubing through it. And it just, I mean, this turbine is spinning at just a ridiculous amount of speed. But it could literally, I always joke because it could power a city. And it's just so amazing to watch it operate. And I mean, they obviously don't get cell phone coverage out there, but they can turn their lights on. They can barely turn their lights on. So it's just impressive. It totally is. But yeah, no, you're definitely when you start thinking outside the box, well, not really thinking outside the box, but when you start coming up with stuff like that, or inside hatcheries, or you're doing some sort of cultivation that you don't want other people to know about, those things have to become pretty close to the chest when shit does hit the fan, for sure. I totally
agree. Well, yeah, and see, that's the part of technology that I agree with you with.
Yeah.
Is I do think there are some things that we have to explore. Like, as an example, solar power. Okay, that's really nice.
Yeah.
Unless we have like bad weather.
Yeah.
You know,
solar power is not as effective as people think it is. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, something like you just said there, like that is like that knowledge of that, if you could take that and you could apply that knowledge to, say, smaller entities at a time.
Yeah.
Then it would still work.
Well, think about it. You know, it's amazing how, like, nowadays we can do that. We can harness the power of waterfalls. We can harness the power of waves if we put shit out in the ocean. Like, think about what's going to happen in 20 or 30 years, what we're going to be able to harness. Like, is there something else like plasma? Like, what are we able to do? And I think that that's why I say that, you know, we're going to be coming so far in the future that there's going to be too many redundancies. That's not even a thing, but there's going to be redundancy over redundancy because we've invented all this cool stuff that can harness X, Y, and Z. If X burns out, then we still have Y and Z left. Like, you know what I'm saying? So,
I just think that we need to, as an example, the United States Army had this great, like, multi-billion dollar idea that was the greatest idea ever, apparently, and that is to have everything run off the internet,
yeah.
Right? Well, the problem is before they decided to do that, you could actually still do your work if the internet was down. Right. You just couldn't upload the information that you did until the internet came back up.
Yeah.
So when the Army decided to go in on the internet, then if the internet's down, you can't do anything.
Right.
And when's the last time that a country with Wi-Fi or its own internet was invaded?
Why? It's easier to go dark without anything.
But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we intentionally shoot ourselves in the foot.
Yeah.
By going so far into technology that we forget what happens when we don't have it.
Right. Well, look at Iraq. Look at Afghanistan. Well,
yeah.
We can't find them. Well, no shit, you can't find them because you're using everything that they don't fucking use. You're trying to track cell phones. They don't fucking use cell phones. Why are you trying to track it? Why? They're paper and pen, and if that, they're fucking verbal. They'll tell the message, and then that's it. It's gone. Like, and we used to talk about it all the time in when we were doing other stuff. But it was just like, you had to remember to just delete everything. Like, don't even think that it exists. And like you're saying, well, what happens if you don't have a text message or an email or a phone call? Well, why resort to that? And
yeah,
we as this culture forget that because we are so far into it, and we do utilize it every day. If I didn't have my cell phone, I'd be a pretty bitter fucking guy. I can guarantee that.
You can't talk to me every day.
Exactly. And
I mean, and it's probably your highlight of your day.
Always.
Don't tell your wife that. Don't tell your wife that, okay? She might get a little upset about that.
But no, seriously, I mean, this is our generation. This is how we are. And I mean, it's just, if you want to look at it as unfortunate, maybe it is unfortunate, or maybe this is how we live our lives. I'm fine with it. I'm good.
Yeah. I just think that it's a, it needs to be a best of both worlds. I guess you'd say.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. If I lost my cell phone, I'd be probably a little fucked. And I don't mean fucked because I think I'm smart enough that I'd be able to backtrack a little bit. But there'd be a time when I'm just kind of, I wish I had my cell phone. I wish I could play a little game or check fucking Instagram or some shit.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder what the lockup thing's doing. What's going on with Brian? But no, I mean, you know, like people, like as an example, there's a big mountain in Phoenix in Arizona. It's called Camelback Mountain. And if you don't know about it, I know you'll look it up when we get off of here, but it's called Camelback Mountain. And every year people go up there and they end up getting killed on the mountain.
Okay.
And it's not that it's a bad mountain. It's just, it's in Phoenix, Arizona, and people decide to go climb a mountain with like no water.
Right. Yeah. Get lost.
You know? Yeah. So yeah. Or they get dehydrate.
Dehydrated.
You know, pass out, fall off the daggum side of the mountain. You know, because like you said, you're so accustomed to these things that people get these great elaborate ideas, but they're not used to, like with me being in the military, I'm pretty sure with you doing everything you've done, like wherever you go, you have water with you or something to drink.
Yeah.
But not everyone thinks like that. And, well, and
we also have one of those, what are they called? Something pens. I can't remember. But it's like you put them in the water and they fucking filter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we got, yeah. Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
I'm just saying that's, yeah. You know, that's smart. But a lot of people would be like, oh, I'm going to go climb this mountain. And I know it's a little warm outside, but water, even if they think about the temperature, they may not even think about the temperature.
Yeah.
Or the fact that, you know, they're going to sweat out every ounce of water that's in their body, basically.
Yeah.
But for like you and I, that would make sense.
Absolutely. And I think that people too, that do criticize the technology, they'll say something like, oh, well, what if you get lost and you have your cell phone and your cell phone dies? Do you have a compass? Right. And my answer to that would be, well, what's the compass any different than your cell phone? If you're really looking into that, your best option would be to know how to fucking judge the stars, or like you were talking about, like moss, or how to decipher when you're working with streams and how to, like, I think that would be more important than a compass. Like, I'm not saying that it isn't. A compass is a very vital tool, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying though that the argument still stands. Well, if you're saying that I can't have a cell phone, but you're going to give me a compass, well, why the fuck do I need a compass if I can just use nature as my guide? Like,
right. It's a pretty good understanding that if you find water, you're going to find life.
Absolutely.
You know, either you go downhill to find life or you go uphill to find, you're eventually going to find something.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, or knowing where, or knowing where you're, like, just basic qualities. I think that's really all I'm saying is that I really hope people that, you know, listen to our episode just understand that there's basic things that we were taught as children.
Yeah.
Before Facebook was important, before MySpace and everything, that our children may not necessarily be getting from us. So therefore we're stopping it.
Yeah.
Which I really think that we always, like you said, with technology, technology is always good. We can always advance in technology, but there's certain parts of our primal instincts that we still need to keep sharp.
Absolutely.
You know, because I know I talked about Darwinism and stuff, but, you know, with survival of the fittest and adaptation, you know, everything changes for an instance of what they need to become to be better.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always mean that becoming better in one aspect is what's better in the big picture.
Right.
It's just that one aspect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless you got another topic that you want to hit on, man.
No.
I
this has been about an hour and 40 minutes. We did pretty good here.
Yeah. Oh, one thing. We need to talk about you just published a book.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I mean, I know it's on, I know it's primarily on podcasting, and anybody listening, you know, I'll tell everybody they need to start their own podcast. Everybody's got a voice.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I tell everybody that.
You know,
absolutely. Yeah.
But you got your own book, so.
Yeah. Funny story. I woke up one day and wrote a book. Literally, it took me 5 days. So it was weird because I actually started a book about my life, which I'm pretty young, so it's kind of stupid. But the thing, same thing is that the reason I did want to do one all my life was just because I've done a lot. I did work 10 years overseas as a private security contractor and from some very fucking shitty situations. And then I also do what I do now, and that's director of a security company and all this other shit. And I have 4 kids and blah, blah, blah. But I kind of wanted it to be a book about like my one, I called it my 1/3 life, which is not really mathematically accurate, but every time I got 1/3 through my life, I was going to write another book, but about that. But anyway, so that's not here or there. So I ended up starting writing that. And then I got into, then I was talking to you and I was talking to a bunch of other people and they're all asking me questions about podcasting. And I'm like, well, why don't I just put all my information that I have on podcasting in a book? And
was that a cheap shot? That really sounds like a cheap shot.
No, it's funny because it's not a cheap shot at all. What happened was I just started writing and I just didn't stop. And for 5 days, I just kept going and I made it all the way through. And I was like, that was easy because I just wanted to do it. Right. If that makes sense. So I shipped it out. I got it. I jokingly say I got it translated, but what I did was my grammar and spelling is horrible. And I know that. So I paid somebody to review it for me. And then the next day I just threw it on Amazon and it sold. Like I'm not obviously selling 1 million copies here, but I'm having fun with it. And that was kind of the point of it. And I haven't really advertised at all a couple times on my own podcast, but or on social media, but nothing like I'm not putting any marketing money into it just yet. I want to wait till the summer. But yeah, I know it did very well. And then I have 2 more books that I'm currently working on. One is obviously The Life. And then I have another one about parenting. So I'm going to do that. And then got a couple other ideas that I'll do next year.
So, how far are you planning to go with this podcast, like the whole podcast like environment?
I think I'm gonna keep going. I'm not stopping. So, just recently we started doing videos. So now video is incorporated in the podcast, so it can be uploaded onto YouTube. I have a whole bunch of video ideas. I just don't have the time right now to do all of them. So it's just increments. Like I have plans and goals for each like kind of section. So once I complete that one, then I'll move on to the next one. The book was kind of a hiccup because I didn't really plan on doing that was out of the blue. So
that was me sending you questions at 1 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah. And that's the funny thing about me is I'll get another idea and then I'll just go do it. And then it'll be another thing that's added on. But yeah,
that's called ADHD in America, just so you know.
Yeah, I need a pill for that, right? So that's where it goes. I don't plan on stopping. I enjoy it a lot. And I'm getting a lot of good feedback. I'm getting a lot of my goal is to make people aware of quite a few things. One is obviously safety and security. I think that people need to be more have more situation awareness. I think that we don't have a lot of that. And you know, you were talking earlier about primal instincts that are leaving us. And I think situation awareness is a big one. I think people are taking the fact that everything is so safe for granted. Like we have policies for everything. We have procedures on how we do things in work every day. We have like XYZ, like this is how you run it. This is what you're supposed to do. This is how it's finished. And it's like, it almost like we're not at the point, but we're getting to the point where you literally cannot fucking fail at anything ever. You just need to read it and then you're good to go. And then you can go do it. Right. And it's almost like idiot proofing the entire planet. It's like putting, like little rubber stops on all the corners, like so that you don't fucking hit your head. And I think that we forget that something can happen on a dime. You could walk out your house and some car comes out and nails you fucking from nowhere. And I think that's why I post things like that on my Instagram, is to show people that reality is reality. And you got to be careful.
And you got to. And see, Joe, that's really the whole idea of what we, you know, we just spent an hour talking about.
Yeah.
Is just under, you know, even if a person doesn't go out and, you know, buys a whole bunch of food that, you know, is basically going to last forever or whatever, you know, but, you know, when they go to the store and be like, you know what, maybe I should get, you know, let's get three cases of water instead of one.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just keep them in the back of the cupboard. So if a storm comes, we don't really have to run to Walmart and grab everything. Let me get a couple extra cans of, you know, greens or you know, like you said, Spam and Viney sausages. We don't like it, but heck, if a storm happens, we got it. We don't got to fight the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, we just think about it, I guess, Joel. That's the biggest thing, because if you think about it, not necessarily get paranoid about it, but if you think about it, then you can just over time gradually prepare yourself if it happens. If it don't, like you said, drink the water and buy more. Yeah. You know, eat the food and replace the cans.
Yeah.
But I really think if we do like you just said, like you posted a video of the guy, I think he was just sitting there working on a bike or working on a car or something right there. It was like a little shop right there. And the next thing you know, this 18-wheeler just come by and just clipped him.
Right.
Just out of nowhere.
Where the fuck did that come from? And that's my point of reality is, and I see it with my current job and I see it with my other jobs, like other careers that I've worked in, and even working in restaurants when I was a kid, like accidents happen. And if you're not aware of them, you're just going to, like, your life can be over so quickly. And I think people just don't get that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we got some people listening. And if anything, they just think about it.
Exactly.
You know,
100%.
And that's the important part, is just to understand, hey, it's nice that we have all these nice things and, you know, we're Americanized or Westernized or, you know, really whatever you want to call it. But we're really just one bad daggum day from turmoil.
Yeah.
you know, I mean, I'm not saying people should stay up at night, like grab their firearms and hold it on, you know, hold it to their body. If someone's going to break in. But, you know, just take a little time and be like, look, people are stupid.
So one thing I do teach my kids, and a lot of the videos that I do post and situations that I've noticed, is just take another second to look around. Just turn your head. That's all I care about. And I teach my kids that all the time. Just look around. See what's around you. If you're doing something and you're focused straight ahead, stop your glare and turn around and look. Just for a split second. I know it may look weird, but if you don't fucking do it, that's how most people die. Is just be aware of your situation, be aware of your surroundings. That's it. That's all I ask for my kids. If they don't learn anything but that, I'm happy.
And see, that's one bad thing that I think veterans, police officers, EMS, first responders, like everybody gets like a bad stigma of, is because when you do certain things, you go certain places, you just can't help but not to trust people.
Absolutely. I don't fucking trust my damn soul. Sorry, no, I didn't mean it that way. But you know what I mean?
I mean, honestly, like, the way the world is, you don't know if somebody's going to walk in anywhere and just start randomly shooting people.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know if someone's going to try to, you know, you're walking, eating ice cream with your kids, and some idiot's going to try to decide to drive through a parking lot and hit everything they can.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're having a crappy day.
Yeah.
You know, but that that's the kind of world that we live in. And, you know, when you, like, you've done security like forever in a day. So I'm pretty sure every time you go somewhere, you've done memorized everybody's face.
It's, well, like, it's funny because, like, I try to explain this to my wife. I try to explain this to other people, and they, it's really hard for me to really explain what's going on in my head when I'm a fucking wake. Like, my brain is constantly moving and thinking about every situation that's going to happen or could happen while I'm out with my kids or we're at the park or we're in a store. And like, it's funny because I'll even go into the store and I'll look at their emergency map before I even walk in. Like, it's always, right. It's always on the front door. And that's the first thing I go to, just so that I've now memorized, if I have to get the fuck out of here, where am I going to go with my kids? Right.
Or yeah.
Where am I going to go? And I mean, some points, like, and that's just one of the very many things that go through my head when I'm doing stuff, but it's not a good thing all the time. Like, people have to realize that people like me, and I'm sure you go through it too, is we are doing all of this that's not healthy to us. It's not healthy to be on edge all the time. Like, I'm not saying I'm on edge all the time. That's not, on edge is the wrong word. But I'm always
observant.
I'm always observant. I'm always using more mental energy than I really, really, really need to. But I'm always doing that for the protection of everybody around me. If I'm not with my kids, then everybody around me is also still my problem, because either I don't help out the situation, somebody is going to become a liability and they're going to make the situation worse.
Right.
Because they don't know how to react to the situation. And that's what bugs me.
And see, that's what got my wife, because, you know, like, I've been trying to go to the gym and get my head right and do all that stuff. But we was in there one day and we were leaving, and we went home, and we come back the next day, and I was like, oh, so-and-so's here. And she's like, well, how do you know? I was like, because their car's here.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, how do you know that's their car? I was like, well, because every time they're here, that car's here. When they're not here, that car's not there. So putting two to two together to make four, it tells me that's their car.
Yeah.
And she's like, Brian, have you ever seen them drive that car? I was like, no, but every time I see them in the gym, this car is sitting here in the parking lot. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's really stupid because I shouldn't think like that, I guess.
Well, no, yeah, that's the thing is, for me, I'm like,
but you know,
yeah, I say the same thing. I'm like, this is stupid. Why am I still thinking about this stupid vehicle? Why am I still thinking about this face that I saw 2 days ago? Like, why?
Yeah.
And I cannot understand it. I just know that I'm not really. I am trained to do it, yes, but I think that some of us naturally just have these qualities, and they're qualities that we've had embedded us since day one. You don't think that when we were hunting fucking wildebeest and buffalo in the fucking savannah that they're, well, probably not savannah, but you don't think that
I got what you're saying. Yeah.
You don't think that we had these type of natural instincts to be extremely observant. You're hunting an animal against other predators
that, yeah,
you're up against. You don't think that they're watching you just as much as you're watching them, as we're all watching fucking prey? Like, I just think that we forget about that. And I think that just to us, it may seem stupid and it may seem like it's just a problem, but it's the benefit that we carry to help others, but it's the downfall of our own. So
I agree. All righty, brother. Go ahead and talk. Go ahead and do your shout out about Ruck Up. And
all right,
I'll let you go, brother.
Fair enough. Yeah. So Ruck Up podcast. We just dropped our 100th episode today. So
oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So what we are is we're a podcast geared towards military, law enforcement, security professionals, and outdoor enthusiasts. All around the world, we have, I think we're in 92 countries. Don't quote me on that, but it's somewhere up there. And, basically it's just, show geared towards people. It's not just geared towards military and law enforcement. It's geared towards parents. It's geared towards teachers. It's to help people not only know about security and all those aspects and safety, but it's more so about learning how people work and inspiration from others that are business owners, that are mentors in different types of fields, people that are that spokespeople that talk at keynotes. And it's just it's a good overall show to kind of get yourself get your own head in check and to hopefully learn something along the way.
Well, I definitely enjoy it, and I need to know your secret about countries, because I'm in like five and it's killing me because I'm trying to reach like 100 more, you know what I mean? Yeah. I do have this one person that listens in Kenya, and I honestly, showing my ignorance again, didn't think Kenya had internet, but I really wish I knew who that person was, because I would love to talk to them, because you know, like, yeah. Like I don't know where it came from, but yeah, someone in Kenya listens.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it just sucks. I don't know who they are. So well, I can't like
shout out to them. And if you hear this episode, make sure you email Brian and fucking get a hold of
them. Yeah, because if they got internet to listen, then hopefully they can get on a show and we can talk about, you know, Kenya. That'd be cool.
Absolutely.
But Joel, man, I appreciate the 5 million questions of mine that you answered. I'm glad I could help you write a book with my questions. but I look forward to actually getting your book. So I can go through it and listen to it, man. But I appreciate you taking a chance on me and the show and listening and doing everything you can to help me, man. And I know the listeners do too. And as soon as you post the episode that I did on Rookup, then, you know, I'll make sure I share it on Facebook and Instagram and everything like that, so we can go listen to it, man. But I appreciate it, Joel. I'll message you on Facebook, like, you know, I will. Yeah. This has been the Lock on Everything with your host, Brian Locklear.